Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a nice, cool, sunshine day down here in Florida. This is the weather that everybody loves down here. It's amazing. About 68 degrees in the afternoon with a clear blue skies, no chemtrails at all, and a very mild sea breeze. It's incredible, very nice, very enjoyable. Hope everybody is having a blessed day. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I've got about the same weather up here in North Carolina. I'm about 64 degrees right now outside. It was cold this morning. It's around 32. Clear blue skies, light mountain breeze, no chemtrails. So, I mean, it's really, really nice here. In fact, I want to start off. I got an article in today on the HPV vaccine. And I know we talked about this before, but I want to talk about this again. This is something that you guys need to understand, that the HPV vaccine program was actually halted in Japan because of 2,000 adverse reactions and multiple deaths. And the reality is that the side effects of this Gardasil vaccine includes fainting, seizures, brain damage, paralysis, speech problems, short-term memory loss, death, pancreatitis. I mean, they're all trying to make us think that this is a good vaccine, and it's not. And you got to think about a young girl by the name of Shazelle Zaman and what happened to her. This was a 13-year-old girl who started vomiting immediately following the vaccination within minutes. She was so dizzy and she had such a severe headache that she ended up in the hospital. Then she died 5 days later after receiving the HPV vaccine at Derby High School in England. I mean, this goes on and on and on. There are hundreds and hundreds of victims of Gardasil right now around the world. This is the HPV vaccine. And guys, most girls don't get HPV. You have to understand that. And now they're trying to give this to boys, too. It's another one of these vaccine things they're trying to force on everybody. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely, man. And one of the issues, and I've gone in this into detail, but for the new listeners, one of the biggest issues, even if a child doesn't have massive amount of side effects from this vaccine, what they're finding now is the latent onset of the early onset of essentially menopause, where they go into ovarian failure as teenagers or in their early 20s. There's nothing you can do to reverse it. So a lot of times these girls that never even really had any significant side effects from the HPV vaccine, which there's a lot that have had a lot of side effects right off the rip, but some of them it's not immediate, then they start finding out that literally 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years down the road, they can't get pregnant. They have complete ovarian failure, which is really, really sad, especially for this generation. So, yeah, you guys really need to do some research if you're considering that, or if your children are considering that, or if your school is pushing that. You need to do some really, really deep digging research and make sure that that's something you want to do, because I don't ever recommend that vaccine to anybody. The issue with it is that they're giving it to the kids at such a young age now. I mean, they start recommending it like 7 and 8 years of age. The whole aspect of that is the cervical cancer rate actually from HPV is like 2% of the people that actually are infected with HPV get cervical cancer. And I think those numbers are rather high because there's other factors involved in that as well. So when you start looking at the numbers on it, the actual risk of this is not nearly as bad as the risk of the actual vaccine. Anyways, in other news as well, recent research in rabbits reveals that exposure to bisphenol A, which is BPA, which we talked about so many times, sets up an infant for susceptibility to chronic disease influenced by inflammation. The study published in M Systems used pregnant rabbits that received 200 units of BPA per kilogram of body weight by gestation day 15 through postnatal day 7. Fetal exposure to BPA did not significantly influence their size, survival, birth weight, or sex ratio. However, BPA exposure triggered massive inflammatory response at various stages of severity in the rabbit offspring. The BPA-treated animals have significantly more lesions in their colon and hepatic lobules than those in the control group. The research likewise concluded that BPA, an environmental disruptor, it's an endocrine disruptor, is transferred to the offspring through the placenta, where it accumulates in the maturing fetal gut and liver and alters the offspring's gut bacteria profiles. BPA is mainly metabolized in the human liver, and exposure to it and other environmental toxins can be associated with colon cancer and hepatitis. BPA is in plastics such as water bottles, a lot of times it's in the soft water bottles and inside of the metal cans and in the plastic wraps in a lot of the microwave dinners. They put that in the trays and in the plastic wrap that surrounds it. And research has shown that BPA can seep through food and beverages in these containers with concerns on the brain and organs of fetuses, infants, and children. So make sure you're always trying to get non-BPA products, guys. Also, too, if you do buy some type of organic food that's in some of those wraps or trays, never cooking them. I've seen some companies that make organic food and they're in the, you know, like microwave stuff. Don't cook in that plastic cellophane or the container that it comes in at all. The thing that's about BPA is it's very susceptible to heat. So when it's exposed to large amounts of heat and you're actually cooking around it or in it or it's sitting out in the sun for long periods of time, it has much higher susceptibility to leach the BPA into the food. So the water bottles that are real soft, and that's usually how you can tell. Most of the time, the plexiglass or hard plastic water containers like we have for our water distillers, our water wives, systems, they're BPA free. A lot of times, I saw the other day a local place that I was at had one of the giant 5-gallon blue drums from Zephyr Hills, and it said right on the label, certified BPA free, and it was that hard blue plastic. So a lot of companies now are trying to do that, but the problem is you can't really manufacture plastics without BPA unless it's a very, very hard plastic. So be aware of that, and also the same thing with canned foods. You need to make sure it says BPA free lining on the inside of the cans, because a majority of the canned foods, including some of the organic canned foods, usually has a BPA lining on the inside. So not only does it cause all types of issues, now we're seeing that it actually can cause lesions inside the colon of infants, as far as children when they're born, when their mother has been exposed to massive amounts of it. So you couple the BPA exposure with monstrous amounts of glyphosate in the food supply, you really start understanding why we're having such an issue with digestive health and colon health in this society, and especially in this generation, Dad.
That's right. That's exactly right. And also remember, the plastic that's on top of the microwave dinners, you put them in the microwave, that plastic literally drips BPA into the food when you cook them in the microwave dinners. I mean, it's one of the most toxic things you can put into your body when you cook in a microwave to start with. And when you put plastic in those microwaves, it makes it worse. By the way, a new government study now finds that 65% of human breast milk that's been sampled is completely and totally contaminated with Splenda. This is crazy. An article soon to be published in the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health on the presence of synthetic sweeteners in breast milk is bound to upset the apple cart when it comes to assessing toxicological risks of chemicals to breastfed infants. Basically, what's going on is they're finding now that brain damage, obesity, diabetes, weight gain, overweight, addiction, all of this could be linked to Splenda. What's even more concerning was Splenda is heated, again, here we go, at temperatures that occur in baking applications. It produces dioxin, one of the most deadly chemicals known to man. This is a finding that has received almost no attention outside of a few scientific studies that we reported on several years ago on our show. So, guys, it's very important about the dioxin release with Splenda. Now, remember, Splenda is a chlorocarbon. It has a chlorine atom in it. It actually is a pesticide, and it's unbelievably toxic for human beings. So don't be allowing a pregnant woman or women who are nursing to be getting anywhere near of this. 65% of them were found to be contaminated with Splenda. Very important you avoid it, because it's in so many processed and packaged foods. It's one of those things that you really, really can live without. Austin, what do you think?
Splenda is an absolute nightmare. It is a pesticide. It is a chlorocarbon. I have multiple articles on the website at healthmasters.com. If you guys want to read into detail, research studies documented with references that go into detail of Splenda and its toxicity effects on the human body. I never touch the stuff anymore. I won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I won't even be around it as far as in food. I can't stand it. I've used it before in the past when it was first released in some bodybuilding supplements, and it immediately started giving me massive kidney pain. I've told you guys about that before. One aspect of it, among the many toxic aspects of it, is it calcifies the small hairs inside the kidneys. Actually calcifies your kidneys. And not only does that, it completely wipes out. There's one study that we listed. I don't know if it's on the website, but we talked about it before. Just one small dose, you know, a normal size dose in a food product, of Splenda in the human body, one dose of it is enough to completely wipe out like 80% of your positive bacteria and probiotics in the colon. That fast. I mean, one dose of it, because it's a chlorocarbon. It's literally like dumping chlorine into your digestive tract. It kills everything. Every living thing it starts to wipe out. And the problem is this stuff is in almost everything with bodybuilding now. Dad and I went to a bodybuilding convention like a year and a half ago. I told you about this before. And for some reason, for people that are so obsessed with being incredibly good shape and looking awesome and eating super lean all the time, they put Splenda in everything. It's like every single manufacturer except for, I think, one or two companies we found in some protein bars, and they use stevia. Like 98% of everything in the conference that we looked at had Splenda or sucralose in it, and most of the time they list it under sucralose as like the second to last ingredient, and they kind of bury it so you don't see it. They usually don't use Splenda on it. They just use the name sucralose, which is actual the name of it. Splenda is the trademark brand. So this stuff is really disgusting. It's nasty on the body. It's going to have long-term side effects in this generation, in my opinion, because this stuff hasn't been out that long. And in the next 10 to 20 years, I personally think we're going to start seeing even more digestive issues and more kidney issues, especially in older adults, as they've been using this stuff long term every single day. So there's too many good options, guys. We have organic coconut sugar, great stuff. We have monk fruit, incredibly awesome stuff with no calories to it. It's from the monk plant. We have stevia, great stuff. All that stuff's on our website at healthmasters.com. You can bake with it. You can make, you can add it to protein shakes if you want it to be sweeter. You can add it to smoothies. You can do all this stuff with it. And there's no side effects whatsoever. It's all plant-based, natural stuff that has, actually, some of it has health benefits to it. So don't be putting this artificial sweetener. Splenda sucralose, it is the next aspartame. That's what it was. Aspartame got so much negative publicity from people like Dad and, you know, going out there and really calling these companies out for putting it in the soft drinks and the gum and everything. Did aspartame, it's still in a lot of stuff, by the way, but it's not nearly as bad as it is because everything switched over to sucralose now, because they had to come up with a new, incredibly toxic artificial sweetener to dump on the American population to make them more sickly and more susceptible to have to go to the hospital for more health problems. It's a giant circle, guys. Do the math. Look at it. Open your eyes and realize this whole thing is a revolving circle designed to keep people as sick as possible, keep people in the healthcare system, keep the insurance companies unbelievably wealthy, keep the pharmaceutical companies even more wealthier. All at the same time, the eugenics protocol works full swing with this aspect. So don't buy in the lie. There's so many people out there, I've argued with them before. They're like, oh no, sucralose is healthy. Splenda did research on it. I said, oh, Splenda did their own research on their own product that showed it was safe when they was given to people. I said, give me a break. And what Dad said is even true. Splenda, the two aspects of Splenda that make it so toxic is A, when it reaches hydrochloric acid in your stomach is when it separates and releases the chlorine atom into your digestive system. The second aspect too is what Dad was just saying. When it's exposed to heat or high temperatures with baking, it makes it unbelievably toxic when you ingest it, even worse than it is by itself. So it's like there's no good way around Splenda. There's no good way to ingest it. It's toxic every which way you put it in your body. So stay away from it. Don't touch it. And if you have family members that are using it, wake them up and tell them not to use this stuff, because it is not something that you want to be using at all, ever, not even on a semi-regular basis.
A few years ago, I was flying up to Chicago, and I was blessed to be upgraded to first class or business class, and I had a college professor sitting beside me. He was one of the professors at a university in the Chicago area, and I'll never forget this, Austin. I was sitting there, and he was teaching. He asked for a diet soda, and I looked at him. I said, you're a college professor. What do you teach? He said, chemistry. I'm an organic chemistry professor. And I said, do you realize you're actually ingesting a product that contains phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and paint thinner, methanol? He goes, yes, I do. He goes, but your body can metabolize small amounts of paint thinner. And I looked at him. I said, well, how much paint thinner do you want to drink? I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. You know, you're telling these guys this. And then he looked at me, and I said, well, you also use Splenda? He goes, no, I will never touch Splenda. He says, Splenda is a chlorocarbon. It's a pesticide. It wreaks havoc on the kidneys and the internal organs. He goes, that's one that's so poisonous you can't put it in your body in any concentrations. So I thought that was interesting. So you find people like that every once in a while who are on airplanes that are actually you know, intelligent as far as what they're doing, but I cannot believe that he was still drinking the paint thinner with the aspartame. By the way, is garlic a roto-rooter for the arteries? This is an interesting article. Heart disease is the number one killer in the world. It's the reason why millions pop aspirin, which cause all kinds of horrible side effects, blood pressure or statin drugs daily in hopes that they may reduce the risks of sudden and premature death through a heart attack. But pharmaceutical approaches to prevention carry with them such profound health risks that in most cases, the jury is still out whether they do more harm than good. In fact, we found pretty much they do more harm. We have a strong belief that natural substances are superior to synthetic ones in preventing and treating health problems. We also focus on bringing to light research on the unintended adverse effects of these commonly employed pharmaceutical interventions, as they are underreported in popular media, and that they, as evidence-based platform, we make a concerted effort to deter the authority of peer-reviewed published scientific literature, which when you closely inspect it, lends remarkable consistent support to our core advocates. What he's saying in this article is by Sajar G is that when they actually look at the research being done using natural supplements for the prevention of heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, the statistics and the research proves that these products are more effective at reducing the risks of these diseases, in this case, even treating these diseases. And then he goes on to say, aspirin, for instance, has been linked to over 50 serious side effects, 7 of which are basically very, very toxic. The evidence against aspirin for natural alternatives is strong. Statin drugs are even worse. Not only are the statistics manipulated to make them seem far more effective than they actually are, but there are over 300 adverse health effects linked to statin drugs, should anybody be surprised at this. And then it goes on to talking about garlic. And, you know, we have garlic in several of our products, and we really high sources of garlic. And what we found is this, that garlic is basically cardioprotective. It works really, really well along with sesame seed and turmeric and pomegranate, and it really helps maintain healthy LDL cholesterol. So, guys, try garlic. You can make garlic cloves, or you can take garlic as a supplement like we have in our office. But, guys, it's so important to understand that this helps to reduce cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. It helps to dilate your blood vessels, their anti-inflammatory effects and antioxidant effects. I know we have a restaurant that we go to in Orlando where they bring us fresh, raw garlic every time we go there. And we actually have to mince up the raw garlic, and we actually put it on our salads and put it on our food. I remember one time we were walking around the mall where the restaurant is, and we met a friend of ours named Michael Cohen, and he couldn't believe it. He says, "Man, what in the world you guys are eating? You smell like you've been to an Italian restaurant." And I said, "Well, we have been." I said, "But as long as both of us, my wife and I together, eat the raw garlic together, it's okay." But I guess that's maybe why they keep vampires away also, because of the smell. But it's a very, very good product to use. And I eat as much raw garlic and also baked garlic as I can. You can actually bake the garlic cloves, and they're absolutely delicious. And they'll be in Sharon's new cookbook, which is at the press right now, guys. What do you think, son?
Yeah, no, garlic's great, man. I mean, it can kill viruses. It can actually knock out bacteria. It's very good for detoxifying the body. Garlic's great stuff. And we also carry the actual extracted allicin form of the garlic in one of our products, which is called the Garlex, on our website in our store here as well. So for people that are trying to megadose on garlic while they're trying to detox or kill off something, it's a very, very good addition into your supplement regimen if you don't have the ability to eat garlic cloves every single day or you don't have access to them. It's a little bit simpler, so it's definitely a pretty good protocol. Also, too, in other news as well, this was released today. In the fiscal 2017 year, the Social Security Administration spending topped $1 trillion for the first time. They said that it was pretty insane here now when you start doing the math on this stuff. This is about 37 times as much as the Department of State spent during the year, 32 times as much as the Department of Justice, and 20 times as much as the Department of Homeland Security. The crazy aspect about this that always bothers me is me being so young and Social Security being so just, I mean, it's a giant scam. It's a Ponzi scheme from the beginning. The fact that the government's going to come in and force you to take money so they can help you retire always boggled my mind. That's one thing I've always been very, very proud of the Amish people, is they were actually able to go to federal court long time ago and fight the fact that they are exempt from paying in Social Security because they don't need any help to retire. They handle everything themselves and they're self-sufficient. But the money that we're spending in the Social Security, and the fact that how much I spend on it every year and that I'm never going to see a doggone penny of this stuff, it boggles my mind on how the American population, and another aspect of it has been completely taken to the cleaners, and nobody ever mentions this. Nobody ever talks about it. And the thing is, it's always funny that, you know, they call it an entitlement program when the fact is they're stealing money from you against your will. There's no option to get out of it, and you're entitled to it. So it's an entitlement program of you getting your money back that they stole from you, and you get a small, small portion of it in the event that you don't die. And it just boggles my mind, Dad, that now we spent over $1 trillion on, that's what money went through, on Social Security this year, which just goes to show you this whole thing from the beginning was nothing more than a cash wash and trying to take more money from the American population that the Rothschilds do all the time in every single source of society. We see this with the bankers. They're incredibly effective at stealing money from the population. And, of course, they did not do anything halfway with this. They've done very well with Social Security as far as ripping us off.
Well, they have. I mean, I'll be 62 here next month, and quite frankly, I'm going to go ahead and apply for Social Security. I've had enough. I mean, I want my money back, and I want to have them stop taking it out of my paychecks. I mean, I'm tired of it. I mean, I've spent, several hundred thousand dollars in Social Security payments in, and the Social Security trust fund's broke, Austin. They put IOUs. They spent it all. Congress spent all that money. The trillions of dollars that went into Social Security has been long, long spent, and they looked at it this way. They didn't have to pay it out right away, so they were going to go and keep stealing. And that's why we have no money in the Social Security fund. So it's one of those things. I really wish they'd let us opt out. But see, it's just another form of income tax, especially if you're self-employed. If you're self-employed, like 17%, you have to pay extra on top of the money that you're already paying out. I mean, people understand you're in the top tax bracket and you're, paying 39% of income tax, then you've got you're close to 60%, and then by the time you add all of the withholding taxes and the FICA and the Medicaid and all the other stuff and the state sales tax and all the other things that are there, you're paying 60% of what you earn in income tax. And so, and that means every $100,000 you get $40,000. And you say, well, it can't be that bad. Guys, it really is that bad. I've seen it over and over and over again. That's why people go out of their way trying to find legal ways to avoid paying taxes, which I, you know, believe that's a great idea. But the sad part about it is just, there's so many times people take shortcuts on stuff like that, and they start making mistakes, and they don't even mean to make the mistakes, and they get in trouble with the IRS. That's why I always tell my CPA, just pay what I owe. Make sure if I owe more, pay more, because I don't even know what to say about it anymore. It's such a doggone racket. And that's exactly what it is. It's a racket to massively increase income tax without you thinking it's income tax. That's all it is. What do you think, son?
That's exactly what it is. That's what it always has been from the very beginning. They knew that when they started it. And like you said, it was what it turned into immediately was a giant slush fund for Congress. So they could fund anything else they wanted all the time, and they would just take an IOU and put it in the Social Security account, essentially is what they did. So if they need another $100 million for this, they need another $50 million for this, they need $250 million for this, just take that out of Social Security fund where it's, you know, revolving. It'll keep paying for itself. Well, we don't have to pay that out till later on. And the problem is, once they fully depleted it and literally stole, I mean, you guys understand, they have stolen trillions upon trillions of dollars to the American population. The amount they have actually paid out in Social Security versus the amount they have taken in Social Security is insanely high. Yet nobody wants to even say anything about it. Everybody just goes, well, I don't want to lose my Social Security. I don't want them to not pay it out, so I'm just going to try and file whenever I can. And I understand that because everybody has lost so much money and paid out so much. But the truth is, guys, I mean, where is the Social Security going to stop? Because you got people like me in their 20s. You got Hunter, who's, you know, 17 months right now. What generation is it going to stop? They're already keep trying to raise it higher. The amount keeps going lower. And so it's reaching a point where it's like, how long are we going to allow this thievery to continue throughout the American population and not do anything about it? I mean, we have to reach a certain point where, what they always say, no means no. No, I'm not going to be in the Social Security program. I'm opting out. So we have to figure out a way as a population, especially as the younger generations, I've talked to a lot of kids my age about this, where we're going to opt out. We're going to opt out. We have to figure out how to legally do so with some type of loophole. The problem is they made sure with the Social Security program that they went in and they tried to cross every T and dot every I to make it illegal, which is always ironic to me. If illegal to opt out of Social Security so they can steal your money for free, just take it from you for free and not give it back to you for another 30, 40 years And then when you get it back, it's a minute amount, and most of the time, most people never get anywhere near what they've paid in as far as what they actually get back from Social Security. So it boggles my mind, Dad. But when I saw that today, they hit $1 trillion, I was just like, wow, that really sets it up. And other, with also IRS, I saw this today as well. The Justice Department, after years of litigation now, has finally settled the lawsuits with the Tea Party and other conservative groups who were targeted illegally by IRS under the Obama administration. Attorney Jeff Sessions announced that the Justice Department had entered into settlements with Tea Party groups whose tax-exempt status was significantly delayed by the IRS dating back to 2013 based solely on their viewpoint or ideology. Large amounts of settlements involving payments to the plaintiffs and an apology from IRS happened. The targeting scandal drew attention in 2013 when IRS admitted it applied extra scrutiny to conservative groups, including Tea Party and Patriots. The IRS use of their criteria as a basis for heightened scrutiny was wrong and should never have occurred, Sessions said. The funny thing about this is, it goes on here and it says the large amount of settlements involve payments to the plaintiffs. Where'd that money come from? Just out of curiosity, where'd the massive amount of settlements from the IRS come from? Did it go back into the budget? Did it come from actual IRS employees that did this? Did it get cut out of their bonuses? But wait, everybody in IRS gets paid by the United States government out of the budget, the money that we pay in every year in income tax. So did we really just actually pay the people that got screwed over by IRS more money out of our pockets for getting screwed over by the IRS? I think we just got had again, Dad. I don't know where it stops, but it's pretty crazy the fact that these guys got away with this, and all they had to do was basically pay payouts to the people that they essentially ripped off with more taxpayer funds. I don't know where this ever ends, man. I really don't know where this ends, where we're going to reach a point where we have to say no to this tyranny.
Well, that's what it is. It's tyranny. And back to, you know, I remember. I've got a CPA here in Central Florida who I use, and she said that back in 2011, 2012, that she knew numerous people that basically donated money to basically Tea Party groups, including Ron Paul, and like literally multiple ones of these people that had done this for as little as $500, got massive fines from the IRS and back taxes that were due that weren't even due, et cetera. I mean, this is what they did. This was Operation IRS Gate, or whatever you want to call it. Rather with Fast and the Furious. And all of these things were sanctioned through the Obama White House. I mean, all of these things are impeachable, but they weren't. None of them got impeached. By the way, the FBI releases documents on Sandy Hook showing that the feds, listen to this, visited the shooter before the massacre. This is Newtown, Connecticut. On December the 4th, 2012, the world watched with horror as we heard the story of what happened with Adam Lanza. But he was believed to have shot his mother, Nancy Lanza, in the head at her home in Newtown, Connecticut around 8 p.m. and then going on with Sandy Hook. According to reports, most of the shooting occurred in two of the school's first grade classrooms. Now, documents, which you could say laid to rest many of these conspiracy theories, have been released by the FBI, and it says at 8:10 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday, before the shootings, without any notice, the FBI visited Adam Lanza. And they also took 1,500 pages of documents from their investigation and subsequent findings. I mean, this is crazy. You know, this is just absolutely nuts that these guys are involved with this kind of stuff. And now they're showing that the FBI guys visited the shooter before the massacre. To me, it sounds like another just giant false flag, Austin. That whole thing with Sandy Hook reeks. Books have been written about it, but I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it today. But what an unbelievable mess, buddy. What an unbelievable mess.
Well, and the thing that was interesting is I the more I've read part of that, because like I said, like 80% of that whole ridiculous thing is redacted. They said they went and met Adam Lanza, which they very well may have, probably to scope him out and see if he was a good Patsy Fall boy to drop in the school, and do all that. But what's funny is they even documented, it's even documented in the file, the part that's not redacted, that the kid was 85 pounds. So they said that he was 85 pounds. Now, what still boggles my mind, and I talked about this after the shooting and years afterwards, because the mainstream narrative literally was totally lying to everybody. And this is the first thing that I called out with everybody, because people are like, well, why do you think the mainstream narrative is false? I said, well, the plethora of other reasons, including the fact that they were doing a drill that day, all the factors that I've talked about, I said, look at this from a logistical, logical, tactical standpoint. This kid is functioning autistic, essentially. He's got autism. He's functioning, though. He's 85 pounds. Even in the art, this FBI thing, they say he's 85 pounds. And so he supposedly breaches a locked door, which is most schools have the safety glass. They have fairly good deadbolts. He breaches a locked door, and the reports go on to say that he had a loaded 10-millimeter Glock, a loaded 9-millimeter, I think Smith & Wesson, one of those, something like that. A Bushmaster AR-15, like an extra, they found him with like four mags, loaded mags on him with a chest rig, and they also said that he expelled like 176 rounds, which if you do the math on that, that's roughly another like six mags. So this kid was loaded out with at least like 10, the minimum 10, 30 round AR mags, an AR, two pistols, a rig, all this stuff. 85 pounds. Not saying it couldn't be done, but you're telling me this kid's running around with at least 25 to 30 pounds of gear on his person, has the ability to breach a rear door, then go in and operate these weapons with extreme precision. Remember, he killed like everybody that was involved in the whole wing that he was in, except for two teachers that supposedly made it out, and they got shot, and they were okay, they lived, but we never ever hear about any type of legitimate testimony from them. We don't even know if they were actually in there. We don't even know if they actually got shot, to be honest with you. We can't ever find any information about that. I've looked. So we're supposed to believe this little 85-pound kid was able to carry almost half of his body weight and tactical gear, magazines, ammunitions, and weapons as he breached the back door into the school and then literally shoot almost 30 people in here, then turning around and shooting himself in the head right before the police get there. Again, guys, makes no sense. Same thing with Vegas. The 64-year-old retired millionaire decides to lug up 30 rifles and like 10,000 rounds of ammunition up to his suite and drill holes in the wall for cameras, has body armor in the room, sets the whole place up, blows out two high-rise windows. And then, of course, don't forget about the fact that he unloads 200 rounds through his suite door into the hallway just to shoot one security guard that doesn't even know he's up there. Yeah, that's really plausible right there. And then goes on to shoot another 500 people down below at another 500 yards away from the hotel. These numbers never add up with these stories. They don't make any sense because you got to understand, if they actually had legitimate shootings, there would be legitimate numbers. There would be real-life scenarios that you could say, no, that's pretty factual. I can vouch for that. I've done stuff like that before. They're pretty close call to that. But when you have multiple people that are retired military, active-duty military, retired government officials come out and say, this doesn't make any sense. This has got to be something set up. It doesn't make any sense at all. And then you have people on the ground that everybody's saying there were multiple shooters. There was even a ground shooter out there in Vegas. I don't buy it. The whole thing with Sandy Hook, I don't buy it. The fact that they released this redacted 1,500-page statement, it's like 80% redacted. Again, it's just more obfuscation to get everybody going, oh, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what's going on there. We're never going to know the true story on Sandy Hook, the actual official story. It'll always be covered up because that was one of the big hoorahs of the Obama administration to absolutely push as much gun control as they could physically ram through. And the problem is it did not go through as expected because the United States population literally turned around that next year and bought tens of millions of firearms in a rush frenzy to make sure that we would have all those weapons and magazines on hand if we needed to do so, if the government decided to make them illegal. It was a giant, you know, big, we're not going to do this, come and take it if you guys want them aspect. And so it was another failed attempt by the Obama administration for gun control is what it really was.
Exactly right. In fact, but yeah, I've been in the gym. You know, I was a personal trainer for many years when I was in college and then even in high school. And I've had a lot of those guys come in, you know, who are little kids. I mean, they're 14, 15, 16 years old and they weigh 85, 100 pounds and they want to start working out. And I'm not saying it's not possible, but they can't even pick up an Olympic bar. I mean, I'm talking 45 pounds. They can grab it and struggle with it, but they can't bench press it or military press it or anything. They're that weak. So to strap 40 or 50 pounds of gear on and break through a door, I don't buy any of it. By the way, Black Death warning now is in 9 countries. This is a bubonic plague, including the Britain's holiday hotspots, among fears plague could spread on flights from Madagascar. They're really warning Ethiopia, Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, South Africa, that you've got to be really careful with the flights that are coming in. Now, this is the thing that happened with Ebola, which I really, really don't understand. Because here's the thing. Guys, if we know that there's a possibility of the Black Death coming in on an airplane, why don't we suspend all flights from Madagascar? The same thing. We did the exact same thing when we had Ebola. We had flights coming in from countries that were loaded up with Ebola. Complete and total nonsense. But again, I personally believe this is another CDC action as far as the boys at Fort Detrick trying to do another beta test. What's your next story, son?
No, absolutely. Well, this is also, too, this is very interesting with Venezuela. I'm not sure how this is going to play out or if this is obfuscation, which I don't really think it is because we know the whole country's been defaulting. This is from Tyler Durden. He said this past weekend, Venezuela failed to make a $237 million bond coupon payment, adding the $349 million to unpaid bond interest accumulated over the past month as of last Friday. That brings the Caracas unpaid bills to $586 million this month. Jane Brower went on to say the probability of a short-term default has increased substantially with the coupon delays, and it could come as soon as this Friday when an $842 million PVDSA principal plus interest payment is due. And unlike typical bond payments, it does not have a 30-day grace period, but instead is followed by a second $1.1 billion PVDSA coupon on November 2nd, also without a 30-day grace period. So I'm not sure exactly what is going to happen with Venezuela. I know they're a failing state pretty much for a lot of different reasons that we don't have to necessarily cover today. We've talked about it in detail before. But it's very, very certain that pretty soon it looks like we're probably going to be invading Venezuela for some other reason now, Dad. It won't surprise me one bit.
It won't surprise me either, buddy. By the way, Amazon's trying to sell smart locks now so it can slip packages into your home so you can get them permission to actually unlock your house
and
put packages in your house. The world's largest retailer on Wednesday announced Amazon Key, a lock and camera system that users control remotely to let delivery associates slip goods into their houses. Customers can create temporary passcodes for friends and other first service professionals to enter as well. The move in the works for more than a year may help Amazon capture sales from shoppers who could not make it home to receive an order in person and did not want the package stolen from their doorstep. You know, let me just share with you guys. When you give these guys permission to go into your house, where does that stop? And who are these people going into your house? I mean, this is some weird stuff. But you know, the American consumer, also those who don't want to have stuff left on their doorstep, they're going to absolutely go berserk and allow this to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's pretty weird. Like you said, where's the line get drawn with this? I mean, granted, they may have somebody that's security vetted and this and that, but who's to say they're not going to put something else in your house? Who's to say they're not going to install a camera? Where does the line draw? That's my thing. That's just weird. Also, too, I got this article today, which this is just splendid considering the fact that I get to fly out next week. The new security procedures for TSA are going to affect today, Thursday, October 26th. This is from The Traveler. They said heading to the airport hours and hours before takeoff is a point of contention. But as of today, it's no longer even a small option for many flying in the U.S. Starting today, both American citizens and foreigners may face security interviews prior to boarding flights in the U.S. thanks to heightened security regulations mandated by DHS. The move comes after government officials lifted the electronics ban in July, giving airlines a three-month deadline to increase security. The goal? To raise the baseline of global aviation security. Your best bet is to avoid missing your flight is to arrive early. Some airlines are suggesting at least 3 hours before your flight boards to ensure you make it through the additional security with time to spare. But it isn't that simple, they said. The new regulations, which affect almost 300 airports and 180 airlines and approximately 325,000 daily passengers, include heightened screening of personal electronic devices, but all the specifics of the American officials' request have not been disclosed. In fact, it would appear that many of the long-haul airlines have publicly announced their compliance and trying different methods. So it shows here now that they literally now are going to start pulling you from the side and screening you. and basically talking to you and interviewing now at random, which is great because I get that all the time. Every time I go through security, anything, I get randomly selected all the time. And I'm always like, if it's random, why am I always the one that gets selected? Because that doesn't seem very random to me. That seems like you're definitely putting me into a category that you guys are discriminating against. And you're not supposed to discriminate against anybody, I thought, but I get discriminated against all the time. And this is interesting now. So they essentially, they haven't even disclosed all the security measures that they're planning on doing. I guess we get to go to the airport and find out, or I get to go to the airport next Wednesday and find out all the stuff they're going to do. I already opt out of going through the x-ray scanner, and I get groped heavily because of that. So now I'm sure they're going to probably take me into a room and want to interview me and ask me why I want to fly and why I'm an American citizen and why I feel like I'm being discriminated against. Because I say that all the time. A lot of times when they give me a hard time, I tell them they're discriminated against me. And it's funny because nobody ever knows what to say to that response when you say that, especially because, I mean, you know, I am white. And I go, well, you're discriminating against me. They're like, well, no, sir, I'm not. I said, how are you not discriminating against me? You randomly selected me out of a whole group of people. Well, we just are randomly selecting you. I said, no, I'm clearly being discriminated against. And they kind of look at you with this blank face because they really don't have a rebuttal for it, because most people that are white never use the discrimination card. So I use it a lot of times with security personnel just to get a rise out of them to see what happens, quite frankly, because there's nothing else to do except make a joke out of it. I mean, you can't get mad. It just makes my blood pressure high and makes me irritated. My cortisol go up, and that doesn't make for a good day anyways. So I'll keep you guys posted next week, since it seems like the TSA and Homeland Security are on another further witch hunt to take away our civil liberties and freedoms in the expense of everything we know true to the Constitution, just so they can fight the big, bad terrorist boogeyman that doesn't exist, Dad. So I thought that was pretty wild today, that implemented into effect today, October 26th.
I've told the story before, and I'll briefly go over it again. I was going out of, I filmed a TV shoot with a Christian ministry out of California, and I had one flight leaving LAX. In fact, I'm out of John Wayne out there, and it was basically flying back to Orlando like at 8:30, and we got to the airport at 6:30 in the morning, and we get to our gate, and I tested positive for gunpowder residue in my pants because I pocket carry my Kimber, and it was crazy. I mean, they went berserk. I mean, they didn't know what to do. They already groped me once, then they tested me, then they dragged me into a back room, and there were two big guys, a big Mexican guy and a big black guy, and they looked like they were special forces. So I walked into the back room with them. I started pulling my clothes off, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going naked, dude. And they said, why are you going naked? I said, because I've been in a gym, all my whole life, and I've done showers in gyms, and I don't really care. And quite frankly, if we're going to end up naked, I might as well start there so I can get out and not miss my flight. They said, well, no, you don't have to do that. We're just going to pat you down again. I said, why are you patting me down again? You already patted me down once before. Now you're doing it the second time. And I said, you know I'm not carrying anything. And I already told you I have a concealed weapons permit, and that's why I've got gunpowder residue on the inside of my pocket. And they said, well, don't believe everything you read about TSA. And I said, dude, I'm in the back room with you two guys. And I said, you're patting me down again. I mean, what do you want me to say that I haven't read about you having people in the back room doing this to? I said, this is exactly what they say about you guys, and here I am. Yeah, they looked at me and they started laughing. And then they said, well, we have to get. So they had to call the head guy from LAX, the head guy for security for the entire airport. And I'm sitting there with my belt, off and my shoes off because they're all still in the luggage carrier thing. And finally I said, can I at least put my shoes and my belt on? And the guy goes, of course. And I said, when can I get on my flight? And the guy goes, oh, you can go ahead and leave. You're fine. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. They had to wait until the head guy, the head mercenary, ex-mercenary, I guess, come in. And these were all guys. These guys were all special ops. You could tell they were all ex-military. And so I got on the plane. I thought to myself, that was really odd. And the same thing happened to me when I was in Madrid, Austin. So don't fly to Lone Ranger. Whenever they want to do extra screening on you, I just automatically start pulling my shirt and clothes off, because that way it makes them realize that I got absolutely nothing to hide. And I'm in pretty good shape for a 62-year-old, so I really don't care about that. As long as I'm not being publicly addressed outside with no clothes on, that would bother me. But it's just one of those things. It's just, I just can't believe that we have come to this place in our country that this is going on. But speaking of bad places to be, China is now arresting families for praying at home, Christians praying at home. In the most recent case of religious persecution in China, a house church pastor, Zun Shinin, and her daughter and their 3-year-old grandson were arrested by authorities. The family was reportedly taken into custody after a month of being found singing and dancing and praising and worship in a public park. It is currently unknown where the family was taken after their arrest, but according to nonprofit Christian Human Rights Organization, the two of them and the grandson have been separated. I'm going to say this, and we're going to need to pray that they, in fact, right now, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this family. I pray that they're returned unharmed, and they're put back in their homes, and their families are reunited, Father, in Jesus' name. But what happens a lot of times in China, and I'm not speaking over these people because I don't believe it's going to happen because we've already prayed, is these people disappear, and they're used for organ donors. And I can't believe I have to say that, but that's exactly what happens to them. Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, it is sad, but no, you're right. The organ harvesting market, the black market for that is huge. Nobody really ever talks about it. We don't even talk about it that much because it's a pretty weird convo to have with people. But when you start looking at the numbers, that's where a lot of this stuff goes. I mean, especially when they use a lot of individuals in some of the sacrifice stuff, and then they either dispose of the body or they harvest the organs at the very end. Weird, weird stuff, but it is sad that happens. Also, in other news, this is a health article. Of course, we know that vitamin D, we talked about it on Monday or Tuesday. Incredibly important for the body. Incredibly important for the immune system. Just overall, it's a really, really necessary dietary supplement. Majority of Americans are deficient in it. Well, now, the new recommended dietary allowance, the RDA guidelines, are now taking vitamin D and cutting it in half from 800 IUs to 400 IUs. This is following conclusions made by the Endocrine Society after using a gold standard for measuring 25-OHD. They said these findings were presented in the Endo 2017. Investigator J. Christoph Gallagher, MD, said in Science Daily, "The RDA is easily achievable with a supplement of 400 IUs in the winter when vitamin D levels are lowest in North America. This has important ramifications for public health recommendations. The amount of vitamin D needed, 400 IUs daily, is less than the figure recommended by the Institute of Medicine, but we find this number to be sufficient." These new recommendations come as a surprise to a lot of the health community, considering the mounting evidence in articles and research that are showing that almost half the American population are deficient in vitamin D.
Well, okay, let me go ahead back. I just covered something about the Pacific salmon is the lowest ever recorded right now. The government is actually putting nets into the ocean, into Pacific, Austin, and the nets are coming up completely empty. No fish, anything. No anything. Wow. These trawl nets. And they said they've always been loaded up with fish when they put the nets down. Now there are no fish in certain areas of the Pacific, and we've reported on this repeatedly because of Fukushima. By the way, Corey Feldman now is revealing a plan for film to expose a network of Hollywood pedophiles, which he says will bring down the industry. He's announced this on Wednesday. He's already raised $20,000 after launching his appeal. He's now 46 years old and has long alleged there's a network of pedophiles in Hollywood. He claims that he and Corey Haim, his late co-star on The Lost Boys, are victims, but their allegations have never been taken seriously because the mainstream media will not pick up the story. Guys, this is a major problem, and it needs to be addressed. And I'm really glad now that these Sabbatean Kabbalists and their Luciferian antics are being exposed to everybody globally and how unbelievably disgusting and nauseating Hollywood really, really is with all the filth they put out. By the way, guys, thank you so much for supporting us. Sorry the show's been kind of chopped up today. I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for all that you do. Thanks for listening to the show. I'm going to go ahead and cut out a couple minutes early, Austin, in case I get cut off again. This way you could just keep on going and finish the show. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow night I'm back on with Hagman for the full 3 hours. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, absolutely. We apologize for that little hiccup there. We try to do the best. We keep everything rolling. But, again, there's no telling what's going on all over the place. It is what it is. So we appreciate all the support, guys. Thank you for that. And, yeah, the thing about Corey, I saw another thing the other day. He was talking about that essentially two vehicles tried to run him over while he was going through a crosswalk the other day. He says he thinks he's being targeted and he is in fear of his life. I don't think he's being paranoid personally. I think he probably knows a lot, and he said there are multiple people that were involved with him as far as in the pedophilia stuff, and he said one of them specifically is still very, very big in Hollywood and everybody knows his name. I saw that article yesterday. So, yeah, there's a very good possibility if he really wants to let loose with this and start dropping names and starting an investigation, we'll see what happens. I know that this whole thing with the Weinstein or whatever, they've allowed this to go on in the mainstream only because there wasn't a lot of pedophilia involved in it. If you guys noticed that, it was him, you know, molesting and raping these women that were 18, 19 years old. in Hollywood, and if this stuff comes out that these guys are doing this to little kids, which they are, then it's going to really, really drop a bomb. But I have a hard time believing the mainstream media will cover it. They'll try and spin it with some nonsense like they always do, or keep something going with the Russian Clinton, you know, or the Russian Trump, you know, fake news that they constantly keep doing. But also, too, I mean, the thing about it is the entire mainstream media has no choice to admit now that Clinton and Obama colluded with the Russians and projected those accusations on Trump. That's why they've been doing this now. Nobody wants to cover it, but the more and more information that comes out now, it's becoming crystal clear that these guys blatantly were involved in this, including the illegal $145 million donation to the Clinton Foundation. At the same time, Hillary Clinton was in the Obama administration. This whole thing just reeks. I really wish somebody would go in and bust them and start indicting them, but nobody wants to file anything on it because we know how much dirt she probably has on everybody. So it's pretty irritating. But guys, thank you so much for hanging in there with us today. Thank you for your support. If you guys need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. The magnesium and malate acid, which is our magnesium in capsule form, is on sale this week for over 10% off on the website. Very, very good product. So be sure to check that out. If you need anything, we have multiple other kits as well that you can check out that are on sale all the time, including the three-pack specials at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, email us in the contact form. You can also, in the search bar at the top, type the word contact, and it'll take you to the contact form if you can't find it. Or call us 1-800-726-1834. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, to help you guys with anything you need. So we appreciate the support. Thank you for the emails. Especially thank you for the positive ones as well. Those are always nice to receive. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.